Motherhood is hard. One second, we think we're doing a good enough job, and the next, we feel like the worst mom on the planet, which is why we need the refreshing truth of the gospel to be repeated over and over, giving us hope in the everyday moments. So, Mama, whether you're sipping cold coffee or doing a sink full of dishes, we hope you'll find truth, encouragement, and laughter here. This is the Risen Motherhood Podcast. Thanks for joining us. Well, hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of Risen Motherhood. I am Laura, and I have my sister-in-law, Emily, here with me.
Hello.
And today, we are super excited to announce that we are launching something new for Risen Motherhood. As many of you know, we have a branch of RM called RM Equipping. RM Equipping is designed to help you guys, and us too, deepen your relationship with God through Bible study and prayer, and to provide resources that will help you grow in your role as a mom, especially one that desires to show her children Jesus day in and day out. So right now, as many of you know who've accessed the resources, we do have a set of base resources that really focus on the inductive Bible study method, and many of you have already downloaded them, have started using them. If you haven't, definitely go check them out. But we've had a lot of requests from many of you for more resources like those, things like things that we've written, kind of putting them in art prints, or having just some different tools for kids. So of course, Emily and I, we have no shortage of ideas. So that's where our new project comes in. Today, we are launching The Vault. And it's a place that you can go to find any additional resources that we design. It has all sorts of things, like the art prints I was talking about, tools for working with your kids on biblical stuff, and of course, lots of things to inspire you in your role as a mom. So now, there are only three things in there right now, fair warning. So don't be blown away when you go in there. But we're hoping to consistently be able to add new things as we have the time, which is always the thing that we are short on. But how do you get access to the vault? Well, it's really simple. First, you just head to our website, go to the RM Equipping area, and click on the vault. There, you'll need to enter your email address, and you'll get a passcode to be able to get in. And the main reason we're doing that is so that we can shoot you an email anytime there's something new to be added. So the big thing is, we don't want to always have to take a precious airspace here on the podcast to announce that something new has been added to the vault. And nor are we always super timely about pushing things out on social media. We do have 8 kids between us. But with an email entry, you'll be notified of something as soon as it's up there, so you don't have to wait. Of course, we are super passionate about equipping all of you and making it as easy as possible. And so none of this is going to cost money. Of course, you can still download as many as you want, print them on your home computer. Please share them with your friends. We have no strings attached to this, but we are just asking to use your email address to be able to get in so that it just keeps things simpler on our end so we don't feel like we have to continue to push things out here on the podcast or, like I said, on social media. So we hope you guys will go over there and check it out. Again, trying to add more resources as we can, but we're really excited about this new arm of Risen Motherhood.
Yes, yeah, super excited about the vault, and hopefully we can get more of our ideas out there. As Laura said, time is always the exciting hindrance. But so last spring, some of you guys hopefully heard the interview we did with Abigail Dodds, which was absolutely wonderful, about having a child with special needs. If you haven't, definitely go look that up in our archives. There are so many encouraging, applicable truths for really anyone who's walking through a time of suffering and just not understanding why God is allowing something to happen in your life. I mean, it's wonderful. Go listen. But today we also wanted to just kind of touch on, we know that there's a lot of moms out there, Laura and I included, that maybe have a kiddo that we either aren't ready to, or we don't identify as like being a child with special needs, but there is still maybe some unknown things going on with their health or their development, or maybe we're just not really sure how to apply the gospel when a child seems to be a little bit different or doesn't fit the mold like we think they should.
Yeah.
Maybe just, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. No, I think, you know, maybe your child is in therapy for like one area or another. So you wouldn't necessarily call them like a special needs child, but your child is receiving some extra help. Or maybe they have a physical difference on their face or their body that is pretty noticeable to other people. Even like glasses or hearing or vision issues, things like that. What other ideas?
Well, yeah, it could even be something like a sensory issue. That causes, maybe it's hard to go out and do quote unquote normal things in public, or even I know that sometimes food allergies can cause just a lot of, you know, it can make regular meals or eating out or getting together with other families difficult.
So there's a gamut. I mean, obviously, like it's always a spectrum, right? And as you're processing and navigating, I mean, you're just learning new things every day. And especially when you're at the very beginning stages of figuring out, hey, this is something that I'm noticing that's different about my child. What kind of medical care do we need? What kind of help do we need? What can I do? We just kind of want to talk through how the gospel applies, because for both Emily and I, it's something that we are currently experiencing. And we know firsthand what a confusing and season it can be and just how lonely it can feel at times. Em, do you want to just share maybe a little bit with where you're at?
Sure. And we will apologize in advance for being a little bit cryptic, because as you guys know, with your own kiddos, you want to be protective of your family and all of that. But we also want you to hear where we're at. So one of our kiddos, our little boy who's now two, basically around 6 to 9 months, he just stopped reaching a lot of developmental milestones. And it kind of just started us on a journey of understanding, like, what's going on here? You know, most things seemed healthy. And eventually we got into therapy. We went to see like a lot of specialists. And you know, it's been probably a full year that we've been in that process, and it still feels really unknown of like what we're dealing with, what the future looks like. And we go to a lot of doctor's appointments for him, but we've also like just been really sanctified in the process. We've been very blessed by him. We enjoy him so much. And so it's definitely been something we've had to apply the gospel to and believe like God's goodness and all of those things in the midst of something that's just very unclear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think I would have two children that fit into this category. I think one of mine is very similar to what Emily's experiencing, which has been just a grace of God that Emily has walked this path a little bit ahead of me, but one of them also isn't meeting their developmental milestones. And we're just in the process of figuring out what that means and really even what the real issue is or what's really going on. So like Emily, a lot of doctor's appointments, a lot of therapy checkups. Right now we're really just taking it day by day with her and trying to figure out, you know, what exactly is going on and how serious it is. And there's just a lot of questions, I think, for our family right now. And then with another child, which is actually my son, so you guys will know right away who he is if you've seen any pictures. He actually has a lot of vision needs, so which we've been dealing with since he's been an infant. Everything from glasses and patching and even surgery to help him get kind of that best sight possible. He's also in a little bit of OT for both vision things and then other things as well. And so, yeah, we're just kind of, I feel like, kind of navigating that area with him and have been for many, many years, but especially like on the visible side of things, I can really relate to anyone who's struggling with that because, yeah, when you deal with glasses and patching and different eye things, I mean, it's just, there's a very visible marker of maybe something else that's going on. So anyway, It's just the gamut. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. Those are just two experiences of, you know, we know like millions out there and everybody's story is a little bit different, but I think, you know, if you're a mom and you're like, oh, this is, I have a kiddo that I have some of these feelings about, you know, we want to know how to apply the gospel there. And I think the first thing is just remembering, kind of what we typically go through here on Risen Motherhood, creation, fall, redemption, and restoration. And just remembering the other night, I was, you know, taking a bath and I'm like thinking about something that my child did. And I just thought, it's not supposed to be like this. And that's so true. It's not supposed to be like this. God did not create humans with, you know, he created them to be perfect. And Adam and Eve were not struggling with these types of issues. They wouldn't have had to go to a doctor's appointment or receive an evaluation or whatever. Like pre-fall, if they would have had a child, there wouldn't have been issues with that. And so I think it's just important to remember that feeling we have of it's not supposed to be this way is because we long for the perfection and the way that God originally designed things to be.
Yeah. And I think though, but redemption and restoration give us so much hope, even in the midst of that longing, just knowing that God is sovereign over the way they were created. You know, he mm-hmm. knit them together in their mother's womb, and he knits our children together. And your child might not fit the mold, or it might not be exactly what you expected, mm-hmm. but God is ultimately over that and sovereign and in control. And that is a hard truth. And one that I think even going back to the Abigail Dodds episode would be helpful. And we're going to talk a little bit about it more here today. But I think just remembering that God is ultimately for our good, and his purpose is to get glory. And so these are hard truths, especially when we're dealing with our children. Because I always keep thinking, Lord, just do it to me, not to my kids. You know, like, I'll take it, but I can't handle when this is dealing with my child. But we can image Christ in our response and in the way that we love our child. And we can remember that, like, these promises in Christ are true for both my very healthy children and my children who, you know, were navigating these really hard situations. And I can still trust God with that child's life mm-hmm. as much as I trust him with my more able-bodied or more healthy child, for lack of a better term.
Yeah. And I think as a quick caveat there, I mean, I think one thing I've already noticed with our kiddo that's got some developmental issues is that I think it can be easy to look at my kids and be like, oh, I need to be raising them up in the Lord and giving them the gospel. And I look at the other kiddo and I'm like, I need to be giving him therapy and special doctors and whatever the thing is. And it's like, all like you said, Laura, these promises are true for our children. What every one of our children needs more than anything is the hope of the gospel. It's not the hope of being quote unquote normal. Mm-hmm. Our hope is not in finding a normal for them. Our hope is in Christ, and their hope, we want to give them hope in Christ too. Mm-hmm. So, anyways, that's just something we wanted to throw in there.
Yeah. And going back, Emily, to talking about the garden and the perfection in the garden and how we long for that. I mean, we can look at that in restoration of just one day we all will be redeemed. Our child will have a whole and perfect body. And that mm-hmm. I look forward to heaven more. I think when you are dealing with a child that has more special needs or just differences, like, you long for that for them. And in our mm-hmm. culture these days, it's pretty easy to just like forget about heaven because life can be a little bit easier or like really good at times, which is a mercy of God. But at the same time, like, I think it's good to long for heaven more. It is so good to have heaven at the forefront, to desire eternity. And we know that we have that hope mm-hmm. that is just inexplicable if you don't have the gospel, that one day we will see our child fully restored, fully redeemed, and we can have hope in that in the midst of sometimes a very grievous situation.
Yeah. So we don't have like a ton of practical one because Laura and I are in the midst of processing through this, but we just wanted to, like, I guess just offer some thoughts. Like, here's some things that like are in our conversations, that are on our hearts, are on our minds, some things that have brought us comfort, some things that have challenged our thinking. And one of the first things we wanted to just say is just a reminder that, like, sometimes when our kids have quote unquote everything they need and want, you know, materially, socially, just mentally, physically, I think it can be harder for them to see their need sometimes for the Lord. Not all the time. I'm just kind of speaking in generalities. But sometimes when a kiddo comes up against challenges, it's actually a mercy and a grace mm-hmm. because they may be a little bit quicker to see their need for the Lord, to have sorrow and like have a need to depend on Christ. And so I just think, again, we have to just reorient our thinking to know that sometimes limitations are actually a gift to be able to see God's grace mm-hmm. greater.
Yeah. And I think too, I often think about, you know, with just the different challenges that my kids have, like, and even looking down the pipe to adoption and knowing that some children that we bring home will probably have needs. Like, I just know my kids will be better for it. Our whole family will be better for it. And that mm-hmm. God is going to use this to help our whole family, my extended family, all the people around us that love us. He is going to be using that to point to himself. Mm-hmm. And as we model God and as we model his character and his love and just his grace and mercy for differences, we can be a witness for the gospel and just draw people to who God is, because it's a beautiful picture when we are confident in God's sovereignty over, you know, each individual child in our family.
Yeah. And I mean, this is true for all Christians, but another thing to remember, and that I have to remember often, my husband and I do, is like, God uses all these things in our lives, sometimes including the challenges of our children, to make us more into the image of Christ. And one of the things Paul talks about in his epistles is like that we are, as believers, we want to keep being, we want to keep maturing. And he talks about that being a goal of his, is to present believers as mature. But we do that often through hardship and through suffering and through disappointment and through having to be patient and having to wait on this or that result or having to be sad about the way that situation turned out. And then turning back to the Lord again, and also just finding freedom from the things that the world says are going to make us happy and going, oops, I don't have those things. Like, oh, that the world says my child should be a star athlete and should have all these talents and should be good in school and whatever all those things are in order to be happy. Uh-oh, if I don't have that, like, where am I going to find my happiness? Well, it's got to be in Christ, because everything else is shifting sands. And so those are just incredible and hard ways to depend more on Christ.
Yeah, I think it can be really easy to kind of have an entitlement mentality too about our children or even ourselves, of kind of saying, my kid doesn't deserve this. Like, I want, like, we all want an easier life for our kids, right? Like, at one level, we mm-hmm. want them to find success and do well and get married. And like Emily was saying, a lot of those cultural beliefs that we have for our kids, and often even with ourselves, like, gosh, I don't deserve to have to spend so much time in doctor's appointments, or this isn't fair to my other kids, or, you know, just kind of navigating all of the time and emotion and the commitments or the behaviors that your child's exhibiting. But really, we don't deserve anything. But with Christ, we do receive it all. We receive everything that matters. And so we have that eternal reward that we're waiting on and that we wait expectantly here. And just knowing that, like, this life, it has not been promised to be easy. This life has not been promised to be something that is, you know, you're going to find that success. Everything Emily was talking about, it is a gift in many ways, because you can know Christ more fully in those weaknesses. And like we were saying too, like, even your child may more easily see the graces of God in his or her life because of something that's a little bit different about them.
So just along the practical lines, I think one thing that Abigail Dodds mentioned in her interview, which I personally always need to hear, is that it is okay to grieve, and it is okay to have sorrow over the way that sin and the fall has impacted everything, especially our children, and that it's okay to be sad about that.
Yeah, and I think it's important to just keep perspective on the individual child versus the needs of the family. That's something that Emily has shared a lot with me, especially kind of going before me in some of these things, that it can be very easy to just give tunnel vision and obsess about, especially if you have multiple children, to obsess about one child's needs or differences and, you know, wanting to fix it and to go into that mode of just, you know, Dr. Google and all of those things. And those are important and good things, and we must advocate for our children, but we want to make sure that we are kind of looking at the family as a whole. And sometimes that means you're not able to do absolutely everything that a doctor recommends, or all the home therapy, special feedings, all those different things. You know, you just do the best you can and trust that God is sovereign and that he will care for the needs of our family better than we can. And I think that often mm-hmm. I want to just sort of control all the environments and make sure everything is perfect. And I can't. Like, it just brings me to full mm-hmm. humility about my limitations as a human. And I have to trust that God will extend those efforts and that he will care for those that I love, because he loves them more than I do.
And as you keep hearing Laura mentioning, obviously we talk about this a lot. Yeah. Like, off of Risen Motherhood. So let people in that you feel like are safe and that can hear some of the details of the situation. It probably shouldn't be everyone, you know, but there should be people in your life that you can be really candid with and just talk about the struggles. And then there was this quote that came up we wanted to share. I think Laura, I sent this to you at like 2 a.m.
Yeah, and I had already bookmarked it, and I saw it at like 2 a.m. because we were both feeding babies.
And it's this quote by Kathy Keller, and it said, God does not give hypothetical grace for our hypothetical nightmare situation. He only gives us grace for our actual situation. And I know that is something we talk about a lot. And Laura and I have to remind each other when we start to get like 10, 15, 20, 50 years yeah. in the future, worried about this or that thing, to go, okay, what God has put on our plate with this child today, right now, this mm-hmm. hour, this moment, he has given me grace for. I can do the next feeding. I can do the next appointment or whatever mm-hmm. that is. God mm-hmm. has given me grace for that. And I, he's not yet given me grace for the things I do not know are going to come or not come. So yes. just, wow, that's a good.
Yes. And just remembering that there, that future grace waits for you, you know, and I, when yeah. you look at a family and you're like, how do they do it? I don't understand. I just think to myself, that's future grace, you know, because yep. that God's yep. grace will meet you for everything down in the future. God's grace is waiting there for you, but you don't need it now and you don't have it now. So just remember that obviously this is super near and dear to Emily yeah. and I's heart. I feel like this has sort of turned into a bit of a somber show because I think we're both just really like, we are in the thick of it, but God is near to the brokenhearted and he wants and is ready to comfort you. He gives wisdom to those who ask sincerely and with the right heart, and he desires to conform you into the mm-hmm. image of Christ as you depend on him every day. So we just, you know, if you're in this situation, know that we stand in solidarity mm-hmm. and we just know that it's a tough season, but that God is gracious and he has met Emily and I every time when we've not known what to do. He has been so good to meet us where we're at and to meet our children, and I just always take such comfort in knowing that he does love them more than I do, which is sometimes hard to believe, but he knows what's best more than, yeah. than I do.
All right. Well, on that, as Laura said, kind of somber note, but we hope that it was also encouraging. You can find a lot of these quotes. And like we said, we'll try to include more scripture references and articles that have been helpful and books that have been helpful and things in our show notes at risenmotherhood.com. You can also find that Abigail Dodd's interview there that we were referencing. And you can also find us on social media at Risen Motherhood on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. So we'll be back next week.